Okay, double check all this.
Welcome, everyone, to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and we have Grantley Showalter from the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition as a guest today. As always, we want to give a special thank you to Don Richmond for providing the music that we use, and to Daniel Boyce for the bird songs. Just a reminder that this week, Earth Day is on Saturday, April 22nd. So get outside and show your respect for the Earth. Grantley Showalter from the Alamosa, he is the executive director of the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. He came to the San Luis Valley 6 years ago as a volunteer and initially worked with the Center for Restorative Programs, but has been a cyclist all his life and really has turned into the cycling guru for the San Luis Valley. So, Grantley, welcome, and thanks for coming in to the Outdoor Citizen.
Hi, Marty. Thanks so much for having me.
We're pleased to have you here. And you've got some events that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. May is Bike to Work Month as a national kind of holiday, and the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition is going to be promoting a number of events at the end of April and throughout the whole month of May to kind of encourage people to get outside on their bikes, riding to work or just for fun throughout the whole month.
And actually riding your bike to work is fun.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
You can combine those two.
Exactly, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. So the first two events the last weekend of April, they are going to be a bike rodeo, train the trainer, and an actual bike rodeo. Bicycle Colorado, a statewide organization, is coming down to do a training event to kind of equip community members to lead bike rodeos in our own communities. So the Bike Coalition, along with some partners, is sponsoring this event and making it free to the public. Anyone can come. It's going to be 1 to 5 on Friday afternoon, the 28th, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, the 28th. Thank you. And it's going to be at the Bicycle Coalition, and they're going to have trainers who are experienced in leading these workshops to teach us kind of, you know, how to lead the bike rodeo in our own communities. Then the next day, the 29th on Saturday, is going to be two different bike rodeos, one at the Welcome Center in downtown Alamosa, and then one at Tierra Nueva. For those who don't know, bike rodeos are a way to encourage kids to get outside on their bikes. It's an event to teach skills and have a good time, just make biking fun, especially for young people, and kind of get the whole community out. So, yeah, we're going to kind of kick off the month starting at the end of April, get everybody outside, kind of get things going.
Great. And I think the bike rodeo has a safety component also, doesn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Yes, there's going to be kind of rules of the road, kind of how to, you know, keep yourself safe, especially for kids, what that's like, and using trails that are shared by pedestrians and different stuff. So, yeah, there's definitely a good safety portion too.
So you said the trainer is at the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition itself. Would you please tell everybody where that is and how to access it?
Yeah. So we're the back room of Hobbytown. Hobbytown is on Main Street, kind of just a couple doors down from the brew pub. Hobbytown is kind of like a hobby shop where you can get craft supplies and hobby supplies. And the back room is the Bike Coalition. You can go through Hobbytown or you can come around through the alley. And it's hard to miss. Our sign is painted pretty boldly on the door.
Yeah, it's about a half a block to the west of the brew pub. So it's between San Juan and Edison.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been at least 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I ran a bike rodeo for an alternative school down in Antonito. And I wish I had had a train the trainer course or workshop before doing that, because I I had just a rough idea from looking online and getting some thoughts, but I really didn't know much. So we had the kids write a little course that was marked out by cones. We talked about the importance of the rules of the road and wearing a helmet. And then we just went on a little ride around Antonito and came back. But I'm sure there's much more to it than I realized at that time. So everybody is welcome to the Train the Trainer event. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's open to the community. Anyone who lives here or in the San Luis Valley is welcome to participate for free. We're trying to get as many people to kind of gain some of these skills as we can. That way, you know, more of our community is equipped to be confident in leading our own bike rodeos, just like you did in Antonito. I think that's great that you did that, even though you didn't have that experience. But you know what? You just go for it sometimes.
Well, the kids seem to have a good time.
Right.
And they all brought their own bikes. So,
yeah.
Oh, so should people bring their own bikes for the Train the Trainer event?
For the Train the Trainer event, you can if you want. You don't need to. Mostly it's going to be kind of learning, I think, from the instructors without using the bikes. But definitely for the Saturday event, for both of the events, all kids are welcome. Bring your bikes. And, yeah, it's going to be fun.
And you said the actual bike rodeo on Saturday the 29th was going to be in two locations, the Welcome Center in Alamosa on 6th Street, essentially 6th and State, and the other is at Tierra Nueva?
Yes.
And where is that?
So Tierra Nueva is just south of City Market on, I believe it's Craft. It's a housing complex just kind of off the road there. There's kind of a community center in the middle of the housing complex. We're going to be kind of outside the community center with our course and stuff set up.
Okay, so that's going to be south of Town and Country Automotive on Craft Drive. So maybe quarter mile or thereabouts south of the US 160.
Yep, that's all right.
Great. Okay, so that's the bike rodeos.
Yeah.
Sure to be a good time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be afraid of large animals because it's not that kind of a rodeo.
That's right.
Right. So what about the event you have coming up on May 6th?
Yeah, May 6th is going to be our first bike swap. I think some of the community members are familiar with the ski swap that the Nordic Club does every year. We're going to do something similar just kind of oriented towards bikes. Basically it's going to be like a community yard sale where anyone can come. And if you have old bikes or bike parts or bike, anything related to bikes or the outdoors that you want to get rid of, you can come and kind of make a small donation to the Bicycle Coalition. And then, sell your stuff, kind of get it out there. And likewise, if you're looking for some new gear, you want to upgrade or you want to you need some things for your bike, you can come by and buy from the other community members, and the Bike Coalition will have some stuff that we're selling as well. And yeah, we're also going to have some information from CDOT about, you know, rules of the road and stuff to give out as well. So kind of an informational event as well. And if you also have stuff that you want to get rid of that you don't have time to sit there all day on Saturday, you can donate that stuff to the Bike Coalition, and then we can sell it as well to kind of help raise a little money for our operations. But mostly it's just a kind of a community event to kind of generate some interest around bikes and kind of getting people out again.
And what time does the bike swap start?
The bike swap will start at 9 at Cole Park, the North Pavilion. It'll go to about noon or so, depending on how much interest there is. If people are still coming, we might keep it going a little longer. It's 9 to noon over there at the pavilion.
And if community members have donations, can they drop them off at the coalition before Saturday?
Yes.
Or would it be best to bring it on Saturday?
Ideally before Saturday, that way we have time to price and kind of get things organized. Our hours are generally Wednesday through Friday, 8 to 5. You can find our information online as well, and then just stop by and donate it, or you can also come that day if that works best for you and drop it off. That way, you know, we can still get it sold. But as long as we don't have too much the day of, we can usually process it that day as well.
Okay. You mentioned the they can find the information online. What is the web address for the Bicycle Coalition?
If you just type in Alamosa Bicycle Coalition, it's the first link that pops up. The actual URL is kind of hard to remember, and it's kind of just a Google-generated one. So just type in Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. We also have a Facebook and Instagram that we try and keep people updated on as well. So go ahead and check that out, and we'll try and keep our information up to date on there.
Great. And Grantley, you mentioned that May is National Bike to Work Month. What else do you have planned for the month of May besides the bike swap?
Yeah, May 2nd will be, instead of having Mechanic Monday, we'll have Gender Equity Maintenance, which is a community time at Alamosa Bicycle Coalition to encourage people who identify as female, trans, non-binary, anyone who identifies that way is welcome to come, work on bikes, learn from each other. That's May 2nd. We are also going to have an Alley Cat race later on in May. The Alley Cat race is kind of a special type of race. It's just like more just for fun than an actual race. But you kind of get checkpoints all over town that you got to go to with a teammate and then get back to the start. That's going to be on May 12th. The following Friday is going to be May 19, which is National Bike to Work Day. That's when the whole country is going to be kind of getting out on bikes. And so we're going to have a station at one of the community parks, give out coffee and potentially some breakfast to kind of encourage anyone who's on a bike to get out and ride that day. And then the end of the month is going to be capped off with Rio Trio, which is a city event. That's kind of a tri-event race where you paddle, run, and bike. So we're going to have a booth there to do some safety checks on people's bikes, make sure they're working well, and encouraging people to participate in that event as well.
Great. And we're going to have podcast guests coming up in May about the Rio Trio.
Great.
So yeah. Stay tuned, all of you listeners. Grantley, I'm kind of curious about this Alley Cat race.
Yeah.
What can you tell me more about that? What time does it start, and where does it meet, and so on?
Yeah, we're, I wish I had more specific details. We're still kind of getting some of these details worked out. But I can tell you that it's going to be Friday evening after work, probably starting around 6, okay. I'd imagine. And we'll most likely meet somewhere kind of in a central location in town. We haven't nailed that specifically down yet. But it will be ending at Square Peg. So we'll all kind of have fun and then kind of can go grab a beer afterwards.
At the Spare Keg?
Sorry, yes. I always do that. Yeah, the Spare Keg, exactly.
It's hard for me to get that straight, too.
Yeah, the Spare Keg. So it'll be that evening.
That's good, because I'm going to be hosting a jazz show on KRZA that morning.
Okay.
And wanted to make sure that I wouldn't miss the Alley Cat race because of a prior commitment.
Yeah.
So in the evening.
Yeah.
And we're not actually going to be riding through alleys necessarily.
The reason it's called an Alley Cat race is it was the idea of an Alley Cat race is developed by bike couriers in cities. I'm not sure exactly what city, but the idea was that you would pick a couple, like three or four specific locations around the city that the bike couriers had to race to, and you could kind of design your own route. So the bike couriers would kind of challenge each other's like knowledge of the city and use alleys to their advantage to kind of try and get there first. For us, it's not going to be a very competitive thing, but there will be set up similar where there's a couple different locations around town, and then you kind of have to hit each checkpoint, and you can get between each checkpoint, however, with whatever route that you know best or you want to. So that's kind of the idea. We don't know exactly which where the locations are, and we won't be telling anyone before, so you can't like plan your route out or anything like that. But yeah, it's just for fun. It's not competitive. It's supposed to be kind of a good community event to generate some interest.
Yeah, I'll bet Olin would like to ride in that baby.
I think my knowledge of the town may come in handy.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, the alleys are not always in the best of shape. That's why I'm kind of hoping that we don't have to ride down too many alleys. So anything else that you'd like to mention? Actually, could you just talk a little bit about the coalition itself? What kinds of things does the coalition do? What kind of training is regularly offered? Just tell us about the coalition.
Yeah, kind of in a nutshell, the Bike Coalition's main goal is to make bikes and bike maintenance more accessible. So we have a couple different programs helping folks get on bikes, helping folks learn how to work on their bikes in ways that are accessible as possible for different folks. So kind of one of our main things is our bike referral program, which is a program set up that if people need a bike who don't have other forms of transportation, they can get a referral and then get connected with us, and we'll hook them up with a bike. We also have mechanic programs. So we have an Earn a Bike class where people can sign up and participate in a class where they learn how to work on different parts of the bikes, gain some kind of basic bike maintenance skills over a period of 5 weeks. And then at the end of the class, they get to keep the bike that they've been working on. We also have kind of just a master mechanic class is what we call it, where you get to learn bike maintenance skills, working on a different bike that you already own or you have, or one of the bikes that we have at the shop. And we also do just pop-up events, just kind of one-off things where we set up our stand and tools and encourage people to work on their bike, or we show them how to if they come by, and we try and do those at different locations around the town to make it accessible to different people if they can't get into the Bike Coalition super easily. Yeah, and then we do some programs with kids, the Boys and Girls Club and different other partners who work with kids and try and make biking fun and biking a normal thing that we all do, just kind of promoting that as much as we can. Yeah, and then just kind of starting to work with the idea of promoting bicycle infrastructure to make, you know, Alamosa a bicycle-friendly place to ride your bike. Just starting some conversations around that as well. So, yeah, we're trying to do as much as we can, but it's mostly just kind of encouraging the community to use our space to gain skills and knowledge and potentially learn from each other, having, like, community nights where people can teach each other how to work on each other's bikes.
And you have all the necessary tools and stands and things of that sort for all different types of bikes, right?
Yeah, a lot of bikes. I mean, we don't have some of the more specialized tools that are really designed for expensive bikes, but we do have all of the kind of basic tools that that most people's bikes would require. And the Bike Coalition is set up with several workstations where people can come and use the tools and learn from each other. So, yeah.
Great. And would you remind everybody of what your hours are?
Yeah, Wednesday through Friday, 8 to 5 is generally when our hours are. So, yeah, come by or give me a call. Make sure we're available. Usually we're there during that time. I just say give a call because sometimes I have a meeting and I have to step out. But usually that's the time frame.
And how can people best get in touch with you?
Yeah, our email and phone number are both on the website and on our social media. So you can find those there. That's a good way to get in contact with me. The email is alamosabicyclecoalition@gmail.com. And the phone number is 719-315-5259. Yeah, give me a call and say hey or stop by and check things out.
All right. Thanks, Grantley. So just a recap, Bicycle Rodeo Train the Trainer, April 28th in the afternoon. At the Coalition on the 29th, actual bicycle rodeos, both at the Alamosa Welcome Center, corner of 6th and State, and Tierra Nueva on South Craft, south of Town and Country, auto store. Then Bike to Work Day on May 19th. May 12th, the Alley Cat Race. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is that the highlights?
And then the Rio Trio.
Oh, the Rio Trio.
Last weekend of May. Yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly.
So celebrate May. Actually, you can celebrate every month as a bicycle month. It's a little chilly sometimes in December and January, but I see plenty of people out riding their bikes the entire year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great place. Alamos is super flat. You can get around really easily on a bike. It does get chilly, but if you bundle up, it's usually not too wet, so that usually isn't a huge issue. And yeah, hopefully May isn't too windy this year and doesn't cause too many problems that way, but we'll see.
We'll see, indeed. Well, Grantley, it's been great talking to you. Anything, any last words you want to say?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me on here. It's been really great to kind of get to chat about stuff that we have coming up. I'm really excited for May. I think it's going to be lots of fun community events, and I hope to see lots of the listeners out there.
Great. So starting late April all through May, check out the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition. Thanks, Grantley.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
And we'll be back shortly.
Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue is an all-volunteer nonprofit team that operates in Alamosa County, primarily on the Blanca Massif in the Sangre de Cristo Range. Some of these peaks require more technical expertise than others, and there is little room for error. Make sure you know your abilities. Before you go out to explore the wonders of the Alpine, be sure you tell someone of your planned route and have an agreed-upon time to check in with someone back home so they can call 911 if something has gone wrong. Have the 10 essentials in your pack and always check the forecast. Knowledge weighs nothing, and this is the most important thing you can take with you. ABSAR is honored to serve our community and those who visit. Learn more by visiting our website at www.avsar.us.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast Outdoor Conditions Report. Need to let everybody know that the valley remains in a red flag stage and will remain there for the remainder of the week and into the week of April 24th. The National Weather Service is forecasting hot and dry for its longer-term outlook over the next 3 months. And with those winds and the dry conditions, there's a real danger of fire. I'm sorry to say that we have our last ski conditions report for the season, and it's not all that good a report. Wolf Creek Ski Area is officially closed for the 2022-23 season. They entered their ski season with 480 inches of snow in total. Monarch Mountain is also officially closed for the 2022-23 season. They ended their season with 268 inches of total snow. If you're jonesing, though, for some skiing, Purgatory is still open, and they will close after this weekend, so April 22nd and 23rd, last day to get out for skiing. In terms of avalanche conditions, avalanche danger is low across the entire state right now, according to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. The conditions are generally safe, but the CAIC says small avalanches can be triggered in wind-drifted terrain on upper elevation slopes or wet avalanches on sunny lower elevation slopes. They advise avoiding travel beneath large cornices, which can break unpredictably. The Colorado Backcountry avalanche conditions are updated every evening at 4:30 p.m. For the full forecast details and more, go to avalanche.state.co.us. In terms of the river flow, the Upper Rio Grande gauge in Alamosa is reading a discharge of 284 CFS, Monte Vista 718 CFS, and Del Norte 1700 CFS. If you're wondering why that's such a difference between the different stations, Irrigation season started April 1. There's a lot of canals that are being filled right now. The Rio Grande at Wagon Wheel Gap reported 1,110 CFS on April 14th. The USDA is reporting 12.8 inches of equivalent snow water in the upper Rio Grande Basin. Medino Creek is getting its spring runoff from the Sangres. Good timing, too, because Saturday is a free day at the Great Sand Dunes National Park. The next few weeks should be peak beach season. And let's head into the field for an outdoor report from correspondent Maddie Alborn.
Hey, how's it going, Alamosa? This is Maddie Alborn. I didn't actually do this recording out in the field because I was so lost in my walk out at the Spanish Trails on Saturday, April 15th. But I'm happy to say that the sun was out. It was so warm, just a slight breeze as I kind of made my way back through the through that canyon on the Pura Vida Trail. I was just walking, but probably got like 8 miles in, parking from the main parking lot next to Highway 160, and then made my way down the road and kind of did my loop and then walked back. It was a beautiful day. I saw like 4 or 5 other people. They were all in a group walking. Maybe they were a family. I don't know, but I just made sure my dog didn't chase them down. But Marley, my blue heeler, she loved it as well, and chasing all the little gophers and whatever she could find out there. So I'm glad I had my leash with me. So if you head out into the Spanish Trails or anywhere in Rio Grande County, even though there's not a leash law, maybe still bring one with you just in case so you can be respectful of other people on the trails. All right, that's all for me. Have a great day and stay safe out there, Alamosa.
Thank you, Maddie. We also want to hear from all of you on the outdoor conditions you're experiencing across this great high mountain desert. Whether you're biking, hiking, trailing, or just enjoying and experiencing the outdoors day or night, record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. And just to give you an example, I was out on a bicycle ride yesterday west of Alamosa and heard and saw my first meadow lark of the year. You know, that's one of the things that Grantley and I have talked about in the past, how you can see things so much better when you're on a bicycle than when you're in a car. And you can hear things better, too, as long as you are not plugged in or have your earbuds in too tightly. And now we're going to transition to outdoor news. Hey, Owen, thanks a lot for the meadowlark sounds. Be listening for those as you are riding or walking or hiking outside of town. In terms of outdoor news, Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue is now equipped with night vision goggles. AVSAR has 2 sets of night vision goggles to search better at night. Those goggles came courtesy of the Trinchera Blanca Foundation, the Cielo Vista Ranch, and the Early Iron Club on a great collaboration to benefit Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is seeking public input on proposed regulation changes for state wildlife areas. CPW manages about 350 state wildlife areas, SWAs, across the state, which are properties held to benefit wildlife populations or provide opportunities for wildlife-related recreation. One new proposal is to prohibit the launch, land, or operation of any unmanned aerial vehicle, including but not limited to drones and model airplanes. You can read and weigh in on all the proposed changes by going to engagecpw.org. And some of the SWAs in the San Luis Valley include the Collar State Wildlife Area on the Rio Grande between South Fork and Creed, Russell Lakes just south of Sawatch, San Luis Lakes on Road 6, Lane 6, between Mosca and the Great Sand Dunes, the Heigl State Wildlife Area, which is close, it's on the Rio Grande between Monte Vista and Alamosa, Lajara Reservoir, Terrace Reservoir, Mountain Home Reservoir, Smith Reservoir, and several others. You can easily access the state wildlife areas by just doing an internet search for Colorado State Wildlife Areas, and that'll bring up a map. All right, we'll be back in a minute with some calendar of events. Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. The Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Make sure you check it out and stay up to date. In terms of outdoor events, coming up, San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is beginning their group mountain bike rides for the season. There's one on April 18th at the Malm Trails in South Alamosa. The bike rides start at 5:30 and last about 2 hours. The rides are beginning level and open to the public. The next two scheduled bike rides are April 25th at Alamosa's Inner and Outer Oxbow Loop Trails. That's by the Disc Golf Course north of Alamosa on North River Road. And May 2nd at the Riparian Park Trails in North Alamosa. All entrance fees will be waived at the Great Sand Dunes National Park this Saturday, April 22nd, as part of the We Love Our National Parks Week. The park will also host a Locals Night Under the Stars event that night at the park's outdoor amphitheater from 8 to 10:30 p.m. It features guest speaker Michael Reimer from the International Dark Sky Association, followed by ranger-guided stargazing, telescope viewing, and learning about the impacts of light pollution. The third annual Dark Sky Photo Contest by SLV Great Outdoors is still happening. The deadline for submissions is April 23rd. The contest aims to raise awareness of light pollution and celebrate the magic night sky. All the details can be found at slvgo.com/photocontest. The Mountain Film Fest is back in Monte Vista, April 28th. Doors open at 5:30 p.m., and the fest starts at 6:30 p.m. in Monte Vista's Valley 3 Theater. This year's lineup will highlight outdoor films that are rich in culture, stewardship, and advocacy. Tickets are $15 and are available at Valley 3 and online at eventbrite.com. Just search Mountain Film, Monte Vista. And as Grant Lee and I were talking about earlier, the third annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio is happening May 27th. The race is done right on the Rio Grande in Alamosa and features an 8-mile trail bike ride, a 3-mile river paddle, and a 5K run. Find registration info at rioraces.com. That ends this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. Join us next time when we talk to Katie Goodleaf and Kathy McCurdy about Volunteers for Outdoors Colorado. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the outdoors.